Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Well, I'm not sure how that happened. Blog
Brenda
Talk
Fraser,
Radio.
And I don't know who else is on here, but this is my show. And if you could please drop the line, Greg, I'd appreciate it. You're not supposed to be on this line. Thank you.
Well,
please
go
drop
ahead,
the
Brenda,
line.
Do your thing.
Thank you, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and our guest is Whitney Presley from Stillwater, Oklahoma. And we've had some mysterious things happening today, but we are here in Missouri, and Whitney is calling in from Oklahoma. Hello, Whitney. Are you with us?
I am. Hi, Brenda.
Oh, excellent. So you're on the 405 number, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Well, we are all squared away, and sometimes technology presents some little interesting challenges, but we are here, and we are going to be talking about social media marketing. We're going to be talking about public relations for small business. But let me first back up. I met Whitney in May at a Women's Power Networking event here in St. Louis when I was speaking and giving the keynote address at that event. And Whitney came up to me after my presentation and said, let's talk, let's get together. And I totally believe that like-minded people are attracted to each other, and the right people show up in your life at the right time. And Whitney and I just kind of connected. She had skills that were complementary to my skills that were different. She's expert at developing websites and logos and brand identity, and she has built herself quite a nice little business at the ripe age of, what, 31, 32?
27.
27! Oh, my God! I'm almost twice that age. And so she has accomplished in a very short amount of time what some business owners, it takes them years and years to accomplish. So kudos to you, Whitney, and congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
Your company is called Protique PR. How did you come up with that name?
Well, when trying to describe what I wanted my business to be about, I went through so many words, so many adjectives, searched the thesaurus multiple times, and I really wanted something that described how I approach things. And I really like to use profound techniques is the kind of probe art, you know, things that I know work, things that are, you know, proven and have integrity. And then I also wanted to use unique approaches, different things, trying some things that were out of the box, coming up with creative ideas. So that's really where the Protique came from, profound techniques and unique approaches.
Fantastic. And how did you first get interested in public relations? Were you doing things way back in your teenage years, or how did you first get interested in marketing and PR?
Well, I come from a family of very ambitious and creative women who were always planning, you know, over-the-top parties, birthday parties, Christmases. Everything was just done to the T, perfect. And they were very good at running businesses and communicating their messages. So I actually was a journalism major and loved to write and loved to kind of do the interviewing and the research. And while in school, while working on my undergrad, I actually just kind of fell into the public relations and marketing between the planning and promotions and then the writing. It was just a perfect fit.
Oh, neat. And so, but having your own business is a pretty brave undertaking at your age, and I know I started my business at 36, and even that was pretty young by most standards. So what helped you to decide to work for yourself instead of working for an agency or a corporation or an existing business?
Well, actually, I had been working for Oklahoma State University for a couple of years and managing one of the marketing departments there for dining on campus. And I was just working a lot, and I had had a little girl, so I had my daughter who was about 6 months old when I stopped working full-time, and I decided that I wanted to be able to make an impact in my community and to help local businesses and to be as creative as I wanted to be and take chances and just do things that were a little bit outside the box. So I decided to just start my own company and see what happened, and it ended up being a great idea.
Oh, cool. Well, it's not easy to start a business in any area, but how did you first go about attracting clients?
The first thing that I did is I took on some nonprofit work for free to kind of be able to show people what I had done. And I had also done a lot of freelance over the last 6 or 7 years since I had started working in public relations, that I kind of could call on those clients and say, hey, do you have anyone that you can refer me to? But that mixed with the nonprofit work really kind of helped me to establish myself in the community, and then tons of networking. That was really key.
Which is how we met, through networking.
Yes. Yes.
Well, one of the interesting projects you did was this book for some local retail shops in your community. Walk us through that project, how you created, it's called the Lookbook, right?
Yes.
And you're planning to take it to some other cities in the Midwest. Walk us through how you created that idea and manifested it, and, you know, from idea to actual execution.
Okay. Well, I had several clients that were local businesses, and one of the things that I noticed is there was lots of, you know, traditional advertising and marketing routes, but those methods sometimes got overlooked because it was the same things that everyone had seen before, and local businesses did not have a huge budget to spend on TV commercials or, you know, really expensive traditional advertising. So I wanted to create something that really helped bring the local businesses together and supported those businesses, and just was something really eye-catching and new that Stillwater had not seen before. I ended up being able to be connected to some really great local business owners that had great ideas and helped me come up with this idea of doing a lookbook that we would distribute around town to hotels, to apartment complexes, and all over campus. Campus was a huge hit for Stillwater because it is a campus community. But basically what we did was we did little profiles of local businesses who paid for advertising spots in the lookbook, and showed photos, a short description, and then we also created an online community through Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and a blog, an online website blog, to kind of help support those businesses. And then also we wanted to make sure that everything that Sutton Shop was doing or participating in gave back to the community. So we're selling loyalty cards that go along with those workbooks that also help start to the local businesses, but raises money for a local organization, Big Brother Six in the Water. So a portion of everything from those goes in. And then we also do several fundraisers throughout the year that all support different nonprofits in the community. So that's a lot of stuff. The whole goal is to support local businesses and give back to the community.
And that's a value that we here at Alive to Thrive talk about often, about ways to give back and how if everyone just did a little, we could, you know, really improve our community. And so this is a great example of something you created that, you know, helped get your name out there, as well as help your clients get their name out there, and it's a complete win-win. And so have you had any anecdotal success stories that you can share with us?
From the book?
Yes.
Yes, actually, one of my clients who is also in the lookbook is a local day spa, and she had just gotten started with her business right about the time that we started putting the lookbook together. I forgot to mention, we came up with the idea for the lookbook in February and had it done by April. So it was a quick project, get it out.
That's
there.
What I wanted to really create attention around, that you did it in a very short turnaround time.
Yes. And it was from scratch. So that was getting all of the advertisers, getting all the photography, writing all the content, doing everything from scratch. But what I was Trinkle Bliss Day Spa, who was my client, she had, really didn't have a large clientele coming to the day spa for other services. When we launched the lookbook and started the email marketing campaign, it really got her name out there. And she... usually, when we send out an email blast that features her business, we'll have between 10 and 20 people book an appointment within the hour, which is a huge success for her. And she's had probably close to 100 new clients just from the Sudden Shops program.
100 new clients. That's amazing. What also still surprises me how people are still attached to the old ways of doing things, like direct mail and those darn coupon books or coupon pack mailers. And, you know, I have not personally ever made a buying decision based on a coupon I got in the mail or any of that, but I have made a decision on things where it's, you know, well presented, you know, like a book, like you're talking, or, you know, just the social media aspect that ties into it, because you're not just publishing the lookbook, you're publishing also the social media aspect of that relationship. Can you talk a little bit about that? How do you tie in the social media with your publication and with other things you do?
Right. Well, we really do focus on social media for advertising for the businesses in the lookbook and promoting the businesses in the lookbook, as well as our events that we do. You know, social media is one of the most affordable ways to get your message out. So what we do every month for the businesses that are in a lookbook is we go ahead and promote any of their specials they have going on, any events that are coming up, new items that they have in stock, and it helps them to reach a much broader audience. Someone who likes the lookbook may not be on their social media page, but when they see things that are, you know, attractive or that they would like to purchase, they'll go over and find that business as well. So it really helps to kind of drive the traffic to all the different businesses in town. But the social media has really been key for communicating all advertising and messages that we want to get out there.
So if there's a new business that's trying to get going with social media, are there there are books that you can recommend or resources? I know I just recently bought a book called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Social Media Marketing by Jennifer Abernathy. And interestingly, when I found her on Facebook, we had 30 mutual friends. And I thought, hey, it's a small world, you know. And all the people that we know in common are people that really excel at social media and speaking and have their brand out there, and so it shows that if you're, you know, using good resources and following people, that it's going to improve your business dramatically. But this is just a great book because it takes the confusion out of it, and I think a lot of people are afraid to jump in,
right.
And I just don't think you can survive without a social media presence. I'm amazed when I meet people, especially people in network marketing, and they say they don't have a Facebook page, or they have one and they don't really do much with it because, as you said, A, it's free, and B, it builds relationships like nothing else I've ever seen.
Right, definitely.
What are some resources you recommend to people to get started, to start learning about?
Well, I think where I would probably start, I am a huge fan of webinars, and there are some great ones. that you can find. And one of the main websites that I like is socialmediaexaminer.com. There's all kinds of great tips. You can go back and search the content and find tons of great marketing strategies and tools that you can use to really enhance your Facebook page or learn the basics and learn how to do an editorial calendar for your posts, how to plan, how to make your goals. So it's a really good resource to kind of learn and get in the groove of doing things and marketing your business. And like I said, I love webinars. Amy Porterfield has some great Facebook marketing
What's
tips.
Her last name? Can you spell it?
It's Porterfield, P-O-R-T-E-R-F-I-E-L-D.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a great resource as well. But really with social media, I think it's trial and error and getting in there and really getting into it and just trying it out.
I think that's a good point, trial and error. And I tell people you can't break it. So, you know, learn, ask questions, ask your friends. Don't be afraid to ask for help. I think sometimes people just suffer in silence instead of trying to build a team of, you know, a mastermind team around them of people that can, you know, you may know, one person may know more about something, vice versa. You can learn from each other. Of the different ones, like, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and Pinterest, which one do you see growing in some unusual or unique ways?
Right now, I really see Pinterest growing quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially women spend plenty of hours looking at Pinterest, finding ideas, but it is a great way to drive traffic to your website. And it can be very useful, and it's something that people will find you organically. Facebook is still the most popular. Facebook has a really great platform for communicating with your customer, for communicating your message, and really interacting with people. But I really see Pinterest being the next thing that becomes most useful for businesses right now.
Yeah, I do as well. And I think initially it started out, people thought it was just a visual bulletin board for pictures of your favorite home decor or holiday decorations or whatever you wanted to show that was visual. But now people are posting video and other content there as well. And I like how you said they people will find you organically. They'll know more about you as a person. You get to show up as your whole person. You get to show your personal preferences and taste, your favorite books. I have a board on women I admire. I have one on organizations I support. And on the, underneath the logo of that organization, I put their website. So, again, that helps that nonprofit or that organization get more eyeballs. Books, I put the picture of the book so I can share my favorite books. I can also show some things that are kind of non-business, like the places I've traveled or the places I want to go. And someone may connect with me on that. They may also love Paris, and that might create a connection. So it's all about showing up as your authentic self and letting other people connect with you in authentic ways. I think the big myth about social media is that it's so artificial or impersonal, and I find it to be very personal if used correctly. What would you say about that?
I think it is one of the best ways to show your personality or your message for your business. Social media allows you to be authentic and creative. Like you said with the Pinterest, you know, you don't just show your business stuff. You can also show what you like, what you enjoy, organizations that you support, and the overall picture that you're trying to convey. So I think it is probably one of the best ways to really communicate.
How have you used it for any of your clients? What have you done that shows you have a lot of retail stores and boutiques? How have you used it to showcase their physical location?
Really what we have done for the businesses is post the products, the pictures of the products that they can find online and in stores, on Pinterest with links back to the website. And what happens is if someone is searching for a cute chevron dress and they type in chevron dress into Pinterest and they search for it, if the pin that we have posted has been clicked on multiple times, it will show up in that feed, which allows the customer to find the store and then to go visit the website and hopefully make a purchase. And the way we really track that is by using Google Analytics to see the traffic of the website and where it's coming from. That's been the most important part.
And that's great that you have that ability to track where people are getting their information and connecting, because you could have a great website and no one ever finds it, but if you're on Pinterest or Facebook, because of the power of the numbers that they have involved with those social media outlets, that you can get noticed faster, or things like Etsy, of course Amazon is always at top of the list, but to use these creatively so that it helps the small business position themselves to appear bigger than they are, because there's only so many people that can physically get to your location, but if you can draw them in through social media, then, you know, the world is your oyster. You can attract customers from around the world. I just bought, for example, I was looking for butterfly wing jewelry. Now, that's a very kind of unusual thing. I found some of it in the United States. It was extremely expensive, and I started thinking, where do butterflies migrate to? What are the countries that have butterflies in abundance where the local people might be making jewelry with this item, and I might be able to get it cheaper than at a high-end boutique in the States. And sure enough, I found a man in Malaysia selling butterfly wing jewelry, and all of his pendants were sold out because they were so reasonably priced. I'm sure someone just bought them and then, you know, sold them higher here in the United States. But you can now do transaction and do business internationally because of the internet, and there's no tax. I didn't have to pay tax buying something from Malaysia. The postage was next to nothing because it was a lightweight item, and it got to me within a week. I mean, that's just amazing to me that I was able to find such an unusual item. But it's out there, so anything is available if you know creatively how to search. What's the advantage for people to use a coach or public relation expert or an agency such as yourself versus trying to figure it out on their own? What can you bring to the table that they may not know about on their own?
Well, I think the biggest advantage is really simple. All the time that someone would spend trying to learn everything and try and get used to different platforms and ways of communicating is very important, and it's great that they try, but if someone's trying to get it done and get it done quickly, a lot of times it's much more beneficial for them to hire someone. That way they can spend their time working on their business, and someone else can, or myself, can help with the marketing and communications and public relations side. So it's just most of the time an agency or public relations professional or marketing professional has spent numerous hours making sure they stay up to date on all the new trends in social media. As you know, technology changes every day. And that's one of the things that my team really makes sure that we keep up to date on. Every time there's a new release or updates or changes, we make sure that we're getting in there and we're getting trained and we're understanding. So it really just saves businesses a lot of time.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. We're having some technical challenges today, and I think I may have lost connection to Blog Talk, so I'm going to call in, and we'll take a break. If we're still recording, that's great, but if not, we're going to call back in and get active again. We had a mystery person on earlier, so stand by, Whitney.
Okay.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Ayer que me llamaste en la tienda, me diste una lección. Cuando a la señora se le cayó el billete, tú lo recogiste y se lo entregaste. Entendí lo que es ser honrado. Gracias, papá, por enseñarme algo que no olvidaré jamás.
Pásate.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in the 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger is too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Frazier on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Frazier, and our guest today is Whitney Presley of Stillwater, Oklahoma, the owner of a company called Protique PR. And we've been talking about social media and marketing your business and ways, creative ways of using social media to get your message out. And if you had technical difficulties and didn't hear the first half of this program, we apologize. There's been some weird little bugs happening today. But we have another half hour here with Whitney, so glad you're with us and glad you're able to be with us today here in this end of summer. So, Whitney, what are some trends that you're seeing coming up for the end of the year? You know, obviously there's back-to-school promotions that start, gosh, midsummer it seems. I've already seen Halloween things and Christmas things out in the stores. How does that translate over to social media? What are the trends now that you're doing for your clients?
Well, one of the things that's really become a trend, of course, most people have seen the hashtags now on Facebook, and I have noticed that promoting at least 4 to 6 weeks out is kind of the trend now. So one thing that I would suggest is if you are a business that does have something that would be associated with Halloween or fall or something a couple months away, is to go ahead and start thinking about strategies to promote those things through Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, especially, because that's something that people will go to and find items to purchase. But make sure you're using hashtags, not overly using, but, you know, using them sparingly, as well as other things that can be tracked and found online. And the more you're promoting yourself there, the easier it's going to be for customers to find you, especially in Google searches.
Let's talk about hashtags, because I know this has been it's a mystery for a lot of people. How do you start your own hashtag? And that is basically starting a conversation trend on a certain word or theme. How do you just start using it, and then how do you get other people to continue to use it?
Well, you can just start using it. You can create any word that you would like. One thing I recommend is making sure it's not too long, and it's something that's easy for people to remember and spell. But as long as you're doing that, you can just start using whatever you would like. To get people to also use it, one thing that I would really recommend is tell your followers, and that's with everything, with all social media. Don't be afraid to ask your followers to like, share, or use a certain hashtag. That's the only way they're going to know to do that. And then once it starts getting used multiple times, really more people seeing it, it becoming a trend is how it becomes more popular.
And I think you made an important point, and we have a little bit of some static on the line. I'm not sure if you're on a speaker line or not, but that to ask your followers to like or share something, I think that is so important. You have to be very assertive and proactive with your community. And if you put up a new page, a new fan page on Facebook, to ask your friends, hey, there's this new page, please like it. Every interaction I have, I ask someone to like one of my pages, or you can put it at the bottom in your signature with your emails to say, please, visit and like my pages. Of course, like other people's pages because, you know, if you like theirs, they're going to check you out and like yours. And then I like what you were saying about starting hashtags that, you know, short, easy to remember. What are some that you've used recently that were short and catchy?
Well, we do use them quite a bit for Set and Shop, for the lookbook. One thing that I really like to do is use things like Set and Shop Give Back, or we did a 5K not too long ago, or actually this week on Wednesday, and we used Life the Night 5K multiple times, and that did begin the trend. So that's kind of the way we've been using them.
Well, let's talk about that 5K because you created that event for one of your favorite charities, Big Brothers Big Sisters. And is that right? That's the
yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure I had the charity right. And you just held it this week. So you started an event from scratch. So how did that benefit your clients to be involved with the 5K Light the Night?
Well, it really benefited my clients because we were able to not only distribute the lookbooks to everyone that attended, but also really promote those businesses and introduce them to the crowd that attended the event. We were able to set up vendor areas so people could sample new products. A lot of the businesses have brand new things that people might not have tried before, like gelato. Blue Spruce is a gelato shop in Stillwater that is relatively new. They opened almost a year ago, and gelato is something that they've not had here, that Stillwater has not had before. So it was really kind of just a way to introduce the public to something that was new and fun and extremely tasty.
And were you also putting out messages during the event, either pictures or comments as the event was unfolding during the actual event?
We were able to, with the 5K that we really were able to promote, we were able to do announcements before. People started showing up about an hour and a half before the race started, and we had music and different things going on, and we could do announcements during. We had a couple bands offer to play for free, which were fantastic. And then also, along the 5K route, we had stops the different businesses were at with free water and different fun treats and glow sticks and things like that.
Oh, no, I meant social media. Were you broadcasting any messages during or immediately after the event?
Oh, yes. Well, basically, what we did during the event, of all things that night, my cell phone was not going to be able to work. So I couldn't personally post things. My cell phone was having to do payments before registration. So what we did was have everyone start posting pictures in the Life the Night 5K event on Facebook and also share those on Twitter. And that was a really great way to kind of get the word out and people would see it. And we even had a few more people come and attend because they saw it on social media.
Oh, that is fantastic. So they actually saw the event starting and happening through pictures and social media, and it brought it to their attention, and they said, I'm going to get down there right now and participate. That happened to me earlier this year as well. I hosted a tea party for equality. It was called Equality, and someone saw that we were starting it, and they showed up, and they said, I just saw your posting on Facebook, so I decided to come over. And I think people forget about that. They use social media maybe to promote in advance, but they don't. They miss a huge opportunity to promote during the event. And even using things like Ustream and Livestream, I know some political advocacy type groups have used Ustream to show the bigotry or discrimination of a group of people, because otherwise, people may not believe that, say, a city council, for example, might be demonstrating certain beliefs or attitudes. But then if you start broadcasting it, then everybody can see what's going on and participate. And actually, that particular issue I'm referring to reversed a negative decision made in the city of Kirksville, Missouri, where the vote first was a no several weeks ago. I think it was in June. And through social media, they kept the advocacy group kept their pressure up, and then they live streamed on Monday, and the vote actually did pass in their favor. Now, so that's the way that social media can be used in advocacy situations, and also just to get citizens involved. Because not everybody wants to show up to a city council meeting that might last 3 or 4 hours, but they can sit from the comfort of their home and watch the proceedings. The same with a special event. If you're doing a special event in your community for your favorite nonprofit, like Whitney did the 5K Light the Night, you can show pictures of people registering. You can show pictures of your sponsors. Of course, the sponsors love the shout out, and I was just preparing remarks this week for a talk I'm giving at the end of September for the Association of Fundraising Professionals, and it's going to be called Get Ready to Get Noticed, and it's all about how to use social media to boost your events, your attendance, but also to increase giving. And so with your charity of choice, the Big Brothers Big Sisters, Whitney, how have you seen donors, the numbers of donors get increased or get involved through your efforts, introducing new people to that organization?
Right. Well, the lookbooks and social media and the events all tied together have really helped to, get a new group of audience involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters, or at least aware of Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we really focused on the college community with all the Sudden Shops activities. And that's not something that you would typically see donations from and things like that. So it kind of gave a new avenue for a younger generation to get involved and to financially give back as well, as well as become Big Brothers and Big Sisters, because college students are really great. They make really great bigs.
Well, that's a very important point, because every nonprofit organization needs to start cultivating younger donors, and it may not translate to immediate short-term cash for that nonprofit, but if they have the long view and they start cultivating these younger donors, the millennials, as they're known, as donors under the age of 30, like Whitney, who is under 30, and start engaging them, when they start thinking about being charitable, they'll think about that nonprofit, that organization. And so many companies today will rely on their employees to either vote or suggest a local nonprofit. Of course, we all know about United Way, but the more brand awareness that the community has around a certain nonprofit organization and sees their logo in multiple places, the more likely that nonprofit will benefit from donations and giving. And I've seen that, the groups that aren't doing this, they're really suffering, and they keep reinventing the wheel every year and, trying to get new donors rather than grow the donors they have and grow virally through peer-to-peer mention, through social media, and crowdfunding. Have you used any crowdfunding techniques, Ashley? I mean, Whitney, excuse me, with your...
No.
I was looking at... With anything?
I actually have not. The 5K was the first fundraising event I've really taken on. Before, I've always just been the marketing or PR side of the ideas and events. This was the first one that I took on from start to finish, but I definitely know that I will use crowdfunding in the future.
And so the one I just came across this past couple of weeks is one called Fundly, FUNDLY.com, and you know, they had all kinds of stats about the increased numbers of donations with people doing their own fundraising pages, personal pages, saying, here's my story, here's why I care, please donate any amount. But that concept can be done through, for example, Facebook or LinkedIn, where someone puts their personal story, here's why I care, and that message can go viral, especially if it's a great story with great pictures and it's personal. I think the key is to be authentic and to keep it personal.
Right.
So what are you working on now? What's your next big project? I mean, we always wrap up one big thing and then it's on to the next big thing. I know you passionately care about reaching moms who are working moms like yourself. You have a little one at home, and what's unique about working moms, and why is it important for them to get support?
Well, the reason that I really like supporting and working with working moms is I had my first daughter who is 19 months old now, almost 20 months, and I really learned that it's a whole new world as far as learning to juggle responsibilities and time and understanding that you have your business and you have 10 million things that need to be built with your business, but then you also have to make time to be a mom. So I just admire and think that work-from-home moms or working moms, and especially moms that have their own business, are just fantastic. So I have several new projects, but the project that really revolves around moms is I have been working on an ebook that will feature working moms that I admire and give tips and tricks and things that they've learned along the way, which was really, and it will also have a blog and website that goes along with it, but it's really been a way for me to learn. It started off as this idea that I wanted to share tips from all kinds of moms from all kinds of backgrounds that had all different working situations and kind of create a community where everyone could work together and connect and learn from each other. But in the process, I learned so many tips and tricks and ways to make sure I was keeping clients happy while juggling all of my projects and being the best mom that I possibly could be at the same time.
And you're a working mom out of choice. And, you know, I was raised by a working mom who was sort of forced into that role after being a stay-at-home mom and then getting divorced later in life. And so, you know, working moms come in all shapes and sizes and all sorts of reasons. And, you know, I think it's so important that there is support and role models, and your book will be very successful. And I will help you in whatever way possible to get that done, because I think it's so important for women to have support from their peers and to learn from each other and realize that you don't have to be the expert in everything, that you can ask for help and get, and women can share so many things that they know. So let's talk about your services. You offer public relations, media relations, press kits, media training, branding. Why is branding so important, and what are some of, let's talk about common mistakes you see in branding. What are some of the common mistakes people make in branding their business?
Well, the number one mistake with branding is inconsistency. Not keeping the name the same or the look the same throughout different social media platforms and different marketing avenues. And I'm not saying you have to keep everything exactly the same. Of course, you want to change it up for different themes, for different campaigns, for different things. But you want to have that same look and feel. The major mistake that I see, especially small businesses make or online entrepreneurs, is they will have one name for something on one website, and then you go over to the Facebook page, and it's a different name. So it makes it hard to find the company or the person or the brand. And it also, you lose the opportunity for brand recognition and for your brand catching someone's eye and helping them to talk about you. So
wow.
I think consistency is the number one thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I just can't even believe people that do different businesses or, you know, like you say, the look and the message. You know, it's one thing to focus on maybe an aspect of your business, say having themes in your marketing plan, like this month we're going to focus on this aspect or this week we're going to talk about this as a theme. But consistency is so key in terms of your messaging, your values. And so when you sit down with a new client, what kind of assessment tools do you use, or what kinds of things do you do to look through what they're currently doing in order to make recommendations on ways they can improve?
Well, the first thing we do, we keep everything pretty basic. We'll just pull all the different marketing campaigns they've done in the past, their website, their social media accounts, logos, any kind of signage they have, and just kind of compile it all and go through and see what they have liked the best, see how consistent things are, what their goals are and their messages. The number one thing that we always have to do when we first start is find out why the person is in business. What is their passion? What is their goal? And what kind of message they want to get across, because that will help shape the brand.
Fantastic.
So really, yeah, really just kind of figuring out what their message is, what their goal is.
Good. And so is that sometimes difficult in terms of, do sometimes, like you being an outside observer, can see the business in fresh eyes, and do you find that sometimes business owners are attached to something that may not be in their best interest? You know, how do you carefully, like, you know, sort of turn their priorities around? Maybe they're focusing on the wrong thing.
Right. The number one way that I have found to really help business owners move into a different direction, if maybe they're doing something that's not working, is to kind of back that up with some research or opinion. If I have some research that I can show why we should be going with, you know, a more vibrant color palette, or why we should be going in a different direction as far as wording, or, you know, something that's not appealing, then I'll present that information. Otherwise, a lot of times what we'll do is do a survey of their customers, of their audience that they have already, to find out, you know, if the new look or the new message is some kind of direction that the customers would be attracted to, if it was something that they would prefer. And as long as we get at least 100 or so responses, a lot of times the business owners will see, okay, well, this is something that my audience would respond to better. So really research and something solid to back it up is what I always try to do.
And let's just talk also about your website design, because what I've noticed about your design samples is that they're fresh, they're fun, they're sort of light and breezy, I think is what I would describe it, light and breezy, and not overly dense or heavy. And I think sometimes businesses try to put too much in on their front page of their website, and it takes away from it, because you have to scroll down, you have to dig around to find the link you want to find. Or
right.
Big mistake I often see is that they don't put their social media links on their homepage, because, of course, you want to drive people to your Facebook page, your LinkedIn profile, et cetera, Pinterest. And so how do you think your design is different from other companies that design websites? First of all, I want to say your pricing is awesome, and that, you know, for someone wanting to get started, I think, you know, there's a stereotype myth that, you know, it's going to be cost them an arm and a leg. I know my first website cost me $2,500, and it took me months to pay it off, and I had a budget, you know, several months to pay that off, and that was 10 years ago. And yours is much more reasonable than that. So what sets you apart, besides cost, which is great, in your design approach?
Well, first of all, I'll say that the reason my design cost is lower is I do use WordPress websites, which are very popular. We use the WordPress platform, and I do keep things very simple. I have noticed that if you put too much into your website, then it's hard for people to find the information they are looking for. So my number one goal with every website is to identify the key information that we want the website visitor to find and make sure that it's displayed prominently and that it's simple and easy to get to. So the eye for editing is really what I think would set me apart. Being able to take all this information that someone gives me and really pick out what's going to be the most important, what's going to be the most beneficial, and making sure those are the things that are highlighted and that are really eye-catching for the website visitor.
Fantastic. Now, is there anything coming up that you want your audience to know about in the next couple of months that you're working on?
Well, I'm working on lots of projects, but at this point, they're all kind of in the planning stages. So I would say just to keep an eye out, I don't have a name for it yet, but I am working on the book about working moms, and we also have a marketing basics book in the works. So just keep an eye out for those things. We'll have more information coming soon.
Fantastic. And I do want to let people know that Whitney and I are working on a all-day speaker event in Tulsa, which will be in the spring, called Alive to Thrive 9 to 5. And we have our speaker roster already lined up. Some of them have been guests already on Alive to Thrive. Next week, on the 30th of August, we'll have Bob Castellino, who is a photographer from Colorado and has published several beautiful books, and he is passionate about not only capturing the beauty in nature and in landscapes, but he also has been trained by Al Gore and others on climate change, and he has a lot of various topics he's passionate about. So tune in next week to listen to our interview with Bob Castellino, which will be broadcast live from Colorado, because I leave this weekend to go to Grand Lake. And Bob lives in Colorado, so it's perfect timing. And this is our annual tradition of broadcasting from Colorado. We did this last year from a historic cabin and interviewed Donna Reddy, who is an incredible realtor in Grand Lake. And it's just a beautiful setting. I wish I could be doing my radio show every Friday from the Rocky Mountains. But it is great to do that once a year, so tune in next week for that. And also, Whitney, just tell us some of the groups that you're members of, some of the networking groups, because maybe people can look in their community for those groups as well.
Definitely. A couple of the groups that I participate in is the National Association of Women Business Owners, and you can find those in different cities across the United States.
And that's nabo.org, N-A-W-B-O.org. I want to make sure people know the websites. Go ahead.
That's just a great organization that is a great resource for learning more about, you know, starting your own business or running your business. Or if you work for a business and you just want to learn marketing tips, strategies, or accounting, or any aspect of business, it's always a great resource, and also a great resource for networking. And then I've also attended, and one of the ways that I got started with my business was by attending HeartLink, the HeartLink Network networking meetings. And those are local networking meetings as well across the United States. That's just for women, and it's centered around connecting women business owners and helping them to support each other and to thrive in business.
And you also use meetups very effectively, because that's how you found the Women's Power Networking Group in Chesterfield in May when we met. How can people get started on Meetup if they're not using Meetup, you know, so far or yet?
The easiest way, and what I do anytime that I go on a business trip or even a vacation, is I look for opportunities to network wherever I'm going. And I will literally just Google the city networking event and meetup. I'll just type those into my Google search, and I always find a couple wherever I go. So it's a great way. And once you use Meetup for that event, it'll track it for you and let you know if there's more things coming up there.
And that takes, I think, a certain amount of courage and confidence to do that. And you know, I think that's a great tip for people when they're traveling, whether it's for business or vacation, to Google the name of the city and type in the word networking or meetup. And, you know, it's a great way to learn more about the community. If you're on vacation, you'll have a local person. You can ask, you know, what are the best restaurants? Where do you get the deals on, you know, whatever it is you want to do, horseback riding or spas, et cetera. So that's fantastic. That's a very creative resource to do that. Doesn't cost anything and gets you some great firsthand information on that local community. Well, we're wrapping up our program here, Live to Thrive, which airs every Friday at 12 noon Central. If you missed any of the past interviews, they're all in the archives on facebook.com/AliveToThrive. Please visit and like the page and share it with friends. And coming up in September, we have a lot of big events happening in September here in the Midwest and around the country. If you go to rawartists.org, there are 81 events throughout the United States featuring emerging artists. I was lucky enough to be chosen to be part of the St. Louis event. It's only the second annual event. Raw Artists has only been around actually 4 years. But that will be on September 20th here in St. Louis, but you can go to rawartists.org and check out a city near you. My profile is rawartists.org/butterflyandmoon, and soon to be launching will be my butterflyandmoon.com website, which Whitney is designing, so we're looking forward to that coming out in the next few weeks. And then TEDx, which is a regional speakers showcase based on the large TED event in California that's very well known. We will have on Live to Thrive on Friday, September 6th, Steve Summers, the founder of TEDx Gateway Arch here in St. Louis. Their first event is coming up September 18th. And there are TEDx events all around the country, and you can actually look up TEDx speeches on YouTube and get a feel for what that is, or go to TEDx.com. So lots of things happening this fall. It's an exciting time of year. And Whitney, want to thank you again for being our guest on Alive to Thrive. It's a delight to know you, and it will be wonderful to see where life takes you if you've started out so strong.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We'll be back next week on Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser.